Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This thing on.
See, now I'm getting mad.
Because it's getting ready to be on.
I want my whiskey to bite me a little bit. This is the kind of psychopath that I hang out with. I got beat up outside of a Denny's.
The Rockpile Report with Buffalo Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer.
He likes to get in the X's nose. Something I can't do with this podcast because I drink too much.
Chris Krueger.
My rollerblading blonde mohawk producer.
The pettiest, hardest drinking Bills podcast.
I'm an adult. I know what I'm about.
Welcome everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer. That's my producer, Chris Krueger. To my left, Mr. Iman Azizi, Q42 Barbecue, here in studio with us tonight. And Chris, we're all here to raise a glass and toast because the contractual gangster Brandon Bean has done it again.
There we go.
Cheers, gentlemen. Speaking of gentlemen, it's so good when it hits your lips.
This is not a bad whiskey.
I don't care who thinks it's awful.
It went up a dollar. It's $15.99 now.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, we're just outing ourselves as cheap jerks. Ah, folks, he's no Cosa Nostra, more Bills Mafia. But regardless of what family he belongs to, there is no escaping the idea that Brandon Bean is a gangster when it comes to just strategically structuring contracts and how he navigates free agency. Like, it's just, there's no... Like, Chris, this is a franchise, is the Buffalo Bills, that if you go back just over the course of our individual lifetimes, you were a little bit older than us.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Chris, we're both almost 40.
Yep.
Okay. We've seen this team make so many low-value decisions.
Yeah.
So many.
I'm excited to hear some of these names.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when you talk about how bad it's been, and then you try to use what we've seen, because by now it almost seems commonplace, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the man is getting his due. And this show is a celebration of Brandon Bean. I think that we've become numb to the idea that he's just really good at this. In order to really appreciate it, you have to take a step back. And you have to think to yourself, like, it's easy to laugh at the free agency signings of this franchise that just cratered. Langston Walker, was it?
Oh, yeah, that was one.
Langston Walker and Derek Dockery. Mm-hmm. And they signed, like, the two biggest offensive linemen in the NFL and then got them out there and said, let's run a no-huddle offense. I'm sure this will go well. You know, fat guys move really well in the heat. I've heard this.
Was that Doc? Was it Derek Dockery?
Dockery? Yeah.
Was that the Rex Ryan era?
No. That was way before. You're talking. You got to go back to like J.P. Trent Edwards ish.
Okay.
Like Lossman Edwards ish somewhere in there.
Some of those years just blend.
Like, then that's the thing. We had bad coaching, right? So obviously you couldn't trust it. We had no quarterback play to speak of. So when you swing and miss on a free agent signing, it's more glaring when everything around them is crap.
Yeah. Yep. Because we were counting on him.
Like, that's it. Like, the results are predictably disastrous. But what about the guys that were just so mediocre that most of us have even forgotten they wore our jersey?
Mm-hmm. Right here. Look at that.
What do you got there?
Yep.
Mark Anderson. Ah, yes. Mark Anderson signed, I remember he had 10 sacks with the New England Patriots. We signed him and we went, him? Mario Williams? This is it. That's right. Manna from heaven. Mark Anderson, he played one fucking sack, 5 games, and then never played in the NFL again.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He got hurt, and then the following year, like, still wasn't right when camp rolled around, and they were like, Jesus Christ, dude, what are you doing? And I guess he just wasn't rehabbing. Like, he was just like, nah, you know what? I got paid. I got my guaranteed money. Fuck y'all.
Oh, we're wiki here.
This will be Mark Anderson's quite the common name, so it'll be...
Well, nobody... Oh, here we go.
This guy, we'll see if it says anything.
12 combined tackles, 1 sack, a season-ending knee injury. On July 23rd, 2013, he was released by the Bills after just 1 season of a 4-year deal. Oof. People don't even remember the name Mark Anderson.
It took me a second there.
Yeah! It was a terrible signing. We got, like, that's probably the worst value you could get, right?
Yeah, I bet we've done worse, though.
Well, yeah, but it was a 4-year, $21 million deal.
Did he get all that money?
Well, I mean, it was partially guaranteed.
So yeah, that was before they did the...
So he made like 10 mil, at least.
Do they have that stuff on...
I'm sure it's on Spotrac if you Googled it. But so, how about linebacker Andre Davis?
Yeah.
That was the Changeli, Wanstead, hey, we're gonna turn this thing around. The fuck you are. What are you talking about? I remember George Edwards as our defensive coordinator, and the offense was scoring 30 points a game, and we were still losing football games. Mm-hmm. And then we fired him for Dave Wannstedt.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone goes, all right, see? Everything's going to be fine. Him and Andre Davis are going to save the day.
Head coach experience.
$7,900,000 guaranteed for Mark Anderson.
Do you know how many million that is per sack? Oh, that's right, because he only had one. It's 7.9.
It was a very important sack, though.
It wasn't. Andre Davis goes on to have no sacks, 2 tackles for loss in 22 games.
That was it?
That's it.
Jesus.
Yeah. How about Dewan Edwards?
Oh, hold on. That name.
Yeah. Dewan Edwards. Yeah, 4 years, $18 million. For some, he was basically nobody with the Ravens, and for some reason the Bills were like, we need that guy. That guy is going to be our five-tech D-end that's going to make a difference.
Was he a big guy?
Big guy.
Okay. He
defensive end, but like a 3-4 defensive end. Mm-hmm. 3.5 sacks in 2 years.
But all that Ravens success would come over to us.
Yeah.
If we got somebody like him. He knew how to win.
Outside linebacker Sean Merriman.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that.
Yeah,
like people think about T.O., right? Like when you talk about washed-up vets that the Bills signed, immediately your brain goes, well, Terrell Owens. Mm-hmm. Like that was publicity stunt. What was Sean Merriman? The dude gets busted for PEDs, comes back, is obviously a shell of himself. In fact, he's the reason that I don't trust DeAndre Hopkins. Because him and players like him who get busted for PEDs and get significant suspensions don't ever seem to come back and play better.
No.
Like, that's not a thing. Chris, who's the last guy who got busted for using performance-enhancing drugs and then came back and was like, hey, guys, I'm off the juice. I'm actually a better football player. You should give me millions.
Oh, I don't know about football, but Iman might have an opinion on this. Probably Ryan Braun.
That's exactly
for the Brewers.
Yeah.
Yes. See, Iman and I are on the same page.
Yeah, because you both like horseshit baseball.
Baseball is phenomenal.
It is.
Baseball's a terrible game. You could literally cut the entire season down into like 2 months, and then do like this giant like the playoffs are the only watchable part of baseball. Everything that happens in the regular season is just nonsense.
I was watching regular season baseball last night. Get this. I don't even remember who Cincinnati was playing.
The Dodgers.
Dodgers, yeah.
I bet on it.
Yeah, because walk-off home run for the Reds, and I happened to be watching it. It was a great finish to the game. Drew, Father's Day is a week and a half away. Don't forget what your gift is.
Uh-oh. What's my gift?
50% off for MLB.TV. You can watch all the baseball you want this summer.
What is that cost? What is 50%?
It's like $70. I already bought it. It's already on sale.
You can watch the away and home feeds.
But you don't get the Indians, the Pirates, the Mets, or the Yankees.
Well, what the fuck are we doing here?
That they all claim Buffalo as a home market.
You can watch all the Jays games.
So they're blacked out.
Oh, good. So I can pay $70 a month to watch Jays games.
That's brand new. That they used to have Jays games claim Buffalo as a home market because, you know, Toronto is in another country. So let's claim an American city as our home market.
Yeah, but then hang on. Whoa. Then why the fuck can't Buffalo claim Toronto as part of its home market and all of a sudden we become a top three TV market? Fuck this. Fuck baseball. This is all stupid. You know what? I'll buy that thing just so I can hate watch the A's. Fuck them. Fuck their owner.
They're over.
And everyone goes, that's not fair. Stop making jokes at our fan base's expense. Screw you guys too. All right? You guys are the suckers who rooted for a team that was owned by just a turd, and this is what you get. You should have boycotted him a decade ago.
Let me ask you this. How many games did the Bills win last season?
I believe 13?
13 or 14?
I think it was 13.
All right. Any idea how many wins the Athletics have right now?
How many?
14.
Yeah, there you go. That's good baseball, baby.
They're 14 and 50.
In fact, now I want to go to an A's game just so I can get hammered in the stands and no one cares.
They just won a series against the Pirates. So they just took two
another shit team.
So what you're telling me is I could go to that game and treat it like I treated watching the movie True Grit, where me and my buddies just got annihilated in the theater and then just yelled things, and there was no one who could stop us.
I was at an A's-Orioles game in, like, 15, and it was so empty, and it's like the old Cleveland Stadium where it's just ginormous. They'd hit the ball, and it would go, kah, 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 kah. It just echoed throughout. And I'll never forget walking by the nacho stand, and the lights were kind of dim, and the girl just had her head in her arms because there were just 3,000 people there for this Tuesday night Orioles game. It's phenomenally bad.
You know what? The last thing I'll say about baseball, because this is a football podcast and the sport stinks, but I do like a couple things. I saw something, two things. First of all, your Orioles. Is it true that the lights, the
Cal
conspiracy
Ripken?
Theory with Cal Ripken and the lights? He caught Kevin Costner cheating on his sleeping with his wife. He went to the ballpark, forgot something at home, came home, and she was banging Kevin Costner. Yep. So he fought him, hurt his hand, and they thought, like, oh, no, we can't have... The streak is all our franchise has. It's the only reason anyone cares about us is Cal Ripken's streak. So they made up a story that the lights were broken.
Yep, malfunctioning lights.
I don't know why, but that story just makes me so happy. And then the other night, I saw this thing, and in fact, I texted it to our friend Reed Ferguson. And I said, this is crazy. So Nolan Ryan made 41 starts and pitched 332 innings in 1974. Jacob deGrom and Chris Sale have combined for just 362 innings since 2020. Nolan Ryan was a horse. People, why he's the no one will ever touch his strikeout record? Because the guy, first of all, he played until he was an old man, which is unheard of now. And also, because he was a horse. Yep. That was back in the day when they're like, well, rest.
That was back when you could smoke in the dugout.
Yeah. And then this is what I said to Reed. I go, I don't know what's crazier. The fact that he was a workhorse in 1974, 11 years before I was even born, or that he was still awesome and he was still good enough to beat up Robin Ventura when I was like 5.
That's right.
I don't know what's better about this.
That might be the best baseball brawl of all time.
So we were at a party at one of my dad's friend's house, a bunch of guys just hanging out, and I went and I got to see, like, when you watch that happen in real time as a kid, you're like, baseball rules! That old man just fought that young guy! Amazing! I digress. We've talked way too much baseball.
I gotta cut that off.
Wash it down. Go back to football.
Got
to
rinse all the baseball out of my mouth. Excuse me. So Sean Merriman, 2 years, $10 million, 15 games, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. In his 15 games.
I see that jersey at the stadium once in a while, though.
Yeah, because some loser was like, Sean Merriman's here. Yeah. Let me shell out $90. Because that was, but Chris, that was before the internet. That was before, like, the internet was really pumping out the Chinese jerseys.
Yeah.
So somebody paid full value for that.
I remember seeing him and putting all my pictures of the game on Flickr.
Oh, my God.
It was that era.
How about Larry Triplett?
Yep. Remember that one.
Larry Triplett, Robert Royal. Ooh. Percy Harvin.
Yep.
Chris.
Percy Harvin was at the start of our podcast.
There have been a lot of times that this franchise has taken decent money, like not mind blowing, but decent money, and thrown it at players who they're so forgettable that it takes an exercise like this to even like jog the memory to be like, oh yeah, that guy was here.
Mm-hmm.
He was here and he was bad. They were so nothing that they're erased from your memory now.
Yeah.
Thanks to, you know, Montucky and the gentleman. We no longer can, our brains just no longer retain these things.
It's better that way.
And one of the things I think that gets lost when it comes to looking at all the moves Brandon Bean made this offseason, and I kind of want to get this out before I get too good of a buzz and I forget to talk about it. It's this concept that while people might pan the fact that some of his high-profile draft picks, the second and third round, right? Like, it has not been kind to Brandon Bean.
Yep. Fanbase is very upset.
Chris, we've talked about how day two is usually a bad spot for the Buffalo Bills. What, Ford, Moss, Epinesa, Basham, maybe Cook and Torrance can be the two that kind of break that cycle. He has mitigated all of that by just being really fucking good at finding value in free agency. That's it. And I don't know that there's another GM out there that can claim that kind of success on a regular basis. Like, Chris, this offseason, 13 free agents get signed to contracts of less than $3 million. Like, if we're talking about cap space. 11 of them had a cap hit of less than $1.7 million. Now, that sounds like a team that's literally just trying to flesh out its practice squad. Like, Yep. You're just putting bodies on the field at that point. Except, like, these aren't arbitrary players. Look at the guys they've brought in. Taylor Rapp, who I think is, I mean, I really do believe that this is a player who they think can help mitigate whatever linebacker coverage issues they're going to run into without Tremaine Edmonds. Dave Questenberry, he's an average tackle, but they trust him to start 7 games last year. This Trent Sherfield, big, fast, physical wide receiver to replace Jake Kumerow on special teams, and he still gives them a little more juice on offense than Kumerow did.
Yep.
Damian Harris, he becomes what Devin Singletary was, just the guy where we're going to give you this between the tackles, we're not going to throw it to you much, we're not going to do anything fancy, but you are now going, like, you see the success that he had in New England? That was against teams that knew they were trying to run the football because they didn't have a fucking choice. Because Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe, I mean, they are what they are. Matt Patricia. And at the same time, Damian Harris ground out some really respectable seasons. Now, Devin Singletary, like, if you go to, like, what is that, the Next Gen Stats? You look at rushes year over year against light boxes. Devin Singletary is in the top 5 to 10 every single season for box rushing against boxes with fewer defenders. You're now taking a back who did more with less, and you're giving him that runway.
And I know Bill's famous linebacker, Steve Tasker, was talking the other day about...
God damn it!
he had some stat, like Singletary had one of the most fumbles per carry of the last few years. There was something like that. It was like, you take that, those turnovers and those fumbles away, it's a whole different ball game a few times. Like,
that's fair. That's fair. Shaq Lawson started 6 games after Von Miller went down with his injury, right? Veteran presence. I mean, he was part of a defensive end group that he made plays when he had to.
Yep.
Right? Like, he was respectable. Dean Marlowe, who this coach loves, who loves to be here, he's just here. And then this, I guess they just signed Cam Dantzler. Cam Dantzler. Chris, you want to give that a goog? Put that up there in front of you.
This sounds like Bart Simpson calling into Moe's Tavern. Who the hell am I looking up?
Cam Dantzler, D-A-N-T-Z-L-E-R.
Oh, that is a real person. Yeah, they signs with the Bills. This is from
all the other
Pro Football Focus.
So they bring
Pro Football Talk.
So they bring in another veteran cornerback.
Third round pick of the Vikings in 2020.
Just cause.
Yeah.
Just cause, fuck it. Why not bring this guy in?
Remember how deep we had to go last year at corner?
Remember how deep we had to go at a lot of secondary Rhodes positions? And they're just like, hey, so you've got all of these guys here, right? And the crazy thing is that I know it's not possible that the Bills can keep all of them that they've just signed to keep cheap contracts. I mean, think about the re-signings that they managed even before. Tyler Matakevich is still here. Mm-hmm. Like, but the fact that these guys signed up here knowing that, like, hey, I have a prayer of a shot to make this roster, and they're still here, just, I don't know. What does it say about your football team? It
says we have good people actually want to be here.
Chris, what does it say about your GM's ability to work agents and just go, hey, listen, Chris.
He's a gangster, and he...
I wish I had told you to queue up that numbers drop, because this is where it's probably most prevalent, probably most necessary.
You give me a second, I can pull it up, but, I mean, Bean probably just tells people, hey, you know, got this really good football team.
Well, no, hang on, let me set the scene. Their agent shows up, or their agent, like, their agent's like, it's weird. He wants to meet me in person. They walk in, the blinds are down. It's kind of, like, smoky. He's got a cigar. They come in, and they go, listen, hey, it's nice to meet you, whatever. And he goes, my client will not play for less than X. And he just slides a piece of paper across and says this.
Come on, sweetie. Don't be a bitch. Let's talk some numbers here.
And that's it. He just hits him with it. And all of a sudden, you've got decent football players playing for peanuts, mm-hmm. and no one can figure out why.
Yep.
Look around the division, Chris. The Jets, 11 deals worth less than $3 million. Okay. They got some value. They got a defensive, L. Woods, a defensive tackle, mm-hmm. who's not terrible. Center, right tackle depth, a punter and a kicker who were both cut by other teams, like... But the only ones with any real utility are all over the age of 31, except for Connor McGovern. Yeah. The other Connor McGovern,
yeah.
Who wasn't great, which is part of the reason their quarterbacks all kept getting hurt.
Who was the in the Weinstead era? The dude, he was our GM. He was like, I heard rumors. He had a big Southern drawl. People don't want to come to
Buddy Nix.
Jesus. Yeah, he's like, that's a lie. You wouldn't know the conversations I'm having.
No, and then he got recorded. Yeah. Remember, he got recorded.
That fake number.
Fake number, and actually got him on the phone with Tampa Bay's GM, and then recorded both of them having a confusing conversation.
Yep.
And it was like, this is ridiculous. You're both old and dumb. I remember him trading up for T.J. Graham in the third round.
Yeah.
And going, we were riverboat gambling. Meanwhile, they could have had Russell Wilson.
That was some dark. That was just dark times. I think there was truth to it that they didn't want to come here. So it's kind of cool to see it turn the other way.
No, for sure. I mean, and then you think about this. I just, at the 11th hour, right, when you figure, okay, the dust in free agency is settled, Bean is done with no cap space to work with because you already have a franchise quarterback, an all-pro cornerback, pro bowlers all over your roster elsewhere. You found a way to still bring in guys who will make an impact for your football team that season. At the 11th hour, he goes out and makes more moves. Not just throwaway bullshit moves, but real football maneuvers that will impactfully reshape your roster and boost odds winning a Super Bowl. Chris, that's masterclass stuff right there. Like, up there with learning how to smoke a brisket with... what's his face? Who does the masterclass?
Aaron Franklin.
Yeah. Sure, Gordon Ramsay's up there.
Is that Iman? Is he the one to have for a masterclass on a brisket?
Yeah, because he makes it. He's a real nice fella, and it's like the stuff he does is.
I don't care if he's nice. Does he do it correctly?
Yeah.
No. He does. Chris, it's all he enjoys. It's like you and podcasting. It's like you and sitting down here behind a microphone or being a dork doing editing. It's his passion.
I love it.
And exactly.
I read his book.
How do I not have a master class on production?
I read his book, and he tells the story of how he just made really bad briskets for a while. Like, he's very self-aware of, like, how he learned how to master it, and now he's got it down pat, took it to scale. Like, he sold out of a shack for a while and figured it out.
What I like about him is he has no energy. Mm-hmm. He's a very low-energy guy, kind of like you, Chris. So when you're so when you talk to him, you just know that he's, like, it's very consumable because you go, he's not Guy Fieri-ing me. Yeah. Instead, he's just, hey, guys, we're here smoking a brisket today. Here's what I'm going to show you. You get a little bit of this peach paper. You know why I like peach paper? Because it just, it lets it breathe a little bit. It's like like you and me having a conversation, except with less me and more you.
Well, we're getting ready for the steak competition here. That's
oh, yeah.
That's
when is that?
July 15th.
July 15th.
Erie, PA.
We're going to go down to Erie, PA and serve everyone their asses. Hand me that, gentleman.
Oh, that's what you were wanting.
Yeah, let's.
What else was he pointing to? Your beer?
That's what I was like, yeah, it's a beer.
Yeah, give me that beer, Iman.
Drew didn't like how you were nursing that beer. He wanted to finish it for you. Now he's looking for the gentleman.
It's like when you point at something for a cat, and you just have to take your finger all the way down to it.
Guys, we have an amazing GM. Let's all just celebrate that. Before we talk about the moves themselves.
I already finished my Manhattan.
Look at, see the glass you made a Manhattan in? Tell me that's not enraging. It's a wine glass.
This is a Nick and Nora glass.
Yeah, you don't drink whiskey out of that. I'll fight you.
Look at that. Do you want to eat my cherry? I don't eat the cherry.
No.
I want to put you in a headlock is what I want.
Nolan Ryan.
He's about to be Robin Ventura. So let's talk about this. First of all, the Ed Oliver extension. I'm not going to lie to any of you. I did not see this coming.
Same here.
A couple weeks ago, drinking in my basement, doing a Spaces podcast, and I was talking about the idea that the Justin Simmons or Jeffrey Simmons extension. I go, man, $90 million for a D tackle. What does that do? Because we all know in free agency, rising tides float all boats. So you go, here's a guy who's been very successful getting a very lucrative defensive tackle contract. I don't know where Ed Oliver slots into this conversation, but if it boosts him too far, that's not going to fly. Like, if it all of a sudden makes him an $80 million mm-hmm. player, I don't know that this team can afford to have an appetite for that. And so that's what fueled a lot of the trade talk heading into the draft and heading into even post-draft. They're like, well, they could still deal him and get a pick or get a player or DeAndre Hopkins or whatever it was. Like, I don't know.
What was the contract breakdown?
The contract breakdown is actually really interesting. It's one of the more interesting parts about this.
Did he get like a $10 million signing bonus and a horse?
Hey, at least he didn't pull a Russell Okung and ask for Bitcoin. How does that idiot feel right now? What a loser. Which is hilarious because if he was here right now, he would pancake block me to the floor.
Yeah.
But he's not, so I get to make fun of him. But with that said, like, the money, the contract structure is probably the reason that I give Brandon Bean just a giant round of applause. Because it's not just one of those things where, hey, sign a deal, we give you a cheap, like the Von Miller thing, where it's a 1 year, super cheap, just to get you in. Mm-hmm. We'll figure out the money next year when some stuff comes off the books and frees up, and then we'll figure it out from there. We get 2 years of that. 2 years of cap hits that are like I think his money was like 2.3 and the cap hit was like 4. Mm-hmm. And then next year the cap hit goes up to like I actually have the numbers here. So here's the thing. Look at this. He has the 11th highest defensive tackle contract in the NFL right now. Right now with this, which I think is important because he's only 25. And it almost seems like all of these like free agents we've inked this offseason, just like those guys, he recognized the fact that, oh man, I could chase a bag or I could go play for a really talented football team and maybe win a title and also still get mine.
And I think the coaching staff had to have a lot to do with they. You can see how good he can be.
Mm-hmm.
He can be great. And if they see something, they know something.
I mean, or you can go play for the Bears and
exactly.
watch that franchise try to figure out whatever the fuck they're doing. So he's right in the middle of the pack now in terms of total defensive tackle compensation. Like, that's the thing. His out of, if you look at the total value of his contract, it's $68 million. That puts him 11th. That's about where he belongs, yep. Don't you think, Chris? Like,
true.
He doesn't deserve to be in the top five.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's not a slouch.
No.
There are probably, what if he's 11? There's probably 29 other teams that would, or well, what is it? Not 29. We'll call it 19 to 20 other teams that would take him.
Yeah. I wonder if he saw his options, too, like who would want him. He's like, I'm not going to that clown show kind of thing.
Well, it's like it's the Tremaine Edmonds thing. You go, okay, you signed the fattest contract you possibly could. I wonder if that was part of their conversation, too.
Yeah.
If because I guarantee you they probably tried to make Tremaine Edmonds an offer.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where they go, we know that this is what we will pay you. So it's probably, hey, we'll give you 68. Whichever one of you two wants to take it gets to stay. Whoever doesn't, you're fucking out. And you watch him go to play for the Bears, and everyone goes, look at their defense is going to be amazing now. Is it?
They're going to lose 9-3.
Well, that's it. What are we talking about? Who's your quarterback? Well, he's got wide receivers now. Is he a quarterback?
Yeah.
Can he throw the football well? Because if he can't, then I don't want to hear any more about this. Now, everyone's banking on the Josh Allen thing. Oh, Josh Allen in his third year. Don't talk to me about this. Because it's all just fucking... But so, like, think about this. He makes half. His practical guaranteed money, according to Spotrac.com, is half of what Aaron Donald still has to be paid. And that dude's 35 years old.
Yeah. I had to make sure all the Twitter handles I saw tweeting about Ed Oliver were real. It wasn't like Buffalo Bills with a little zero stuck in or a dash.
I was at a lake house, almost drowning. But that's a story for another day. The structure on his deal not only ensured that the Bills could add a sizable upgrade at pass rusher, right, before camp starts, but also means that not just in 2023, but also in 2024, his cap hit is among the league's lowest. So this is it right here. I have it. 29th highest defensive tackle in 2023 for cap hit.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. Slightly more than Tim Settle. Which is what makes his situation interesting.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah, everyone forgot about him. Talk about free agent signings that are mediocre enough you forget they're there. And then Javon Kinlaw, who hasn't lived up to his, like, I don't know, 16th highest in 2024. He's still outside of the top 15 contracts next season for cap hit. Harrison Phillips. Mm-hmm. He's making slightly more than Harrison Phillips. Chris, doesn't that seem like a steal?
It does.
Like, Harrison Phillips is making almost the same as Ed Oliver next year.
I'll take Ed Oliver over that.
I will take Ed Oliver over that all of the time. And then there's this philosophical angle to it that I think is really good. Like, this is a quote from ESPN from Brandon Bean. He says, I would like to not end the season and be at zero, talking about defensive tackles under contract in 2024. That would be my hope. But it would have to make sense. If somebody that's here now, it would have to make sense to do an extension with any of those guys, so we have to see. You know me well, we found a way to sometimes do an extension or two in training camp, so maybe we look at it, and at that point, see where guys are at, who's all in, who's looking good, and if there's a chance to get one, we might look to lock somebody up.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
That almost seems like a conversation he's having with the agent. He's not even talking to the media now. Whoever asked him that question's not there. Brandon Bean is like talking to the agent. He's like, hey, man, whoever shows up, looks like they're in shape, wants to be here, proves they want this, you can stick around. I need a guy. Do you want to be that guy? And
that's the culture we got now.
And
I bet if Brandon Bean had to construct this all over the phone with his agent, pretty sure he said it to the agent over Zoom while talking into a microphone, which I'm just sitting here and right directly in front of me, I have I have our ATEM software and I just see you talking at Iman. Yep. You just talk into the... The conversation happens into the microphone.
Chris, I was thinking the same thing.
For fuck's sake.
I saw this happen and I was like, Chris, I can feel your cringe.
The camera is on me right now. Drew, I am talking to you and I'm talking to you through microphone.
I don't know if anybody can see.
That's how this is supposed to be done.
I don't know if anyone can see how pleased I am with myself. Nothing makes me happier than making Chris upset about my lack of professionalism. Chris, why do you think that sometimes I'm back here and I'm just because I enjoy watching you squirm while it's happening.
Or to your immediate left. Yeah, like what you just were doing.
I'm looking at the guy. I'm looking at the person I'm talking to.
The conversation happens through the microphone. Talk into the microphone. Iman's got headset on. He can hear you. You know who you are? You know who you are? One of my... The podcast that got me into podcasting, Robert Kelly's YKWD. Whenever he has Rich Voss on, he has this same conversation every time with Rich Voss.
So what you're saying is I am for those of you who know comedy, I am the Rich Voss of podcasting. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
he also had terrible teeth. He also had really terrible teeth.
Yeah, but he got them fixed in the 90s.
Did he? They look like chiclets in his mouth. He looked like Walter Matthau and Dennis the Menace when he fixed him with the chiclets. Oh, my God. Either way, can we all agree that it's funny when you hear Brandon Bean just be really candid about stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's nice. It's refreshing that he's just, unlike our coach, Brandon Bean just comes out here and says shit. And he's like, look, this is how I feel. Somebody steps up, somebody does something, we'll make it happen. But otherwise, I mean, nothing out here but air and opportunity, boys. And he meant that. Like, he showed that he meant it. I also think that part of this was you also heard his annoyance after the draft when he talked about how he was upset that he missed out on a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He missed out on one. And you say to yourself, he knew he needed something for the future, so that fits. He put the challenge out there. Look, somebody has to show up and show us as a team and as a staff that they want this, that they want to be here, that they bought in, that they're going to put in the work, show in for the offseason program already in shape. Know what your responsibilities are. Come in with the right attitude. You do that, we'll make you the guy, kind of knowing all along that it was going to be Ed Oliver. Because this is the other thing he's talked about this offseason, Chris. The concept that the Buffalo Bills, now that we have Josh Allen, are no longer a team that will be drafting in the top 10. Not unless we're lucky enough to trade away a safety to some other team for 3 first-round picks who doesn't get interceptions and doesn't pass cover well. The Seahawks are morons. Like, in fact, they're the reason the Jets are good right now. But what I will say is that, like, that dynamic it can't be overlooked. The Bills will no longer have a crack at a top 10 defensive tackle. That's not going to happen. For as long as Josh Allen plays most of a season under center, you will not be drafting inside the top 12 to 15, probably. And so with that in mind, when you have one on your roster, he's the bird you have in hand, you don't go chasing something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how deep is this? Because I know it's...
Who gives a fuck? The second round picks. You don't know.
It's 10 months away. The draft.
Talk to me about the draft.
Isn't the draft supposed to be super deep this year?
I don't know.
You got a quarterback.
I'm going to set a fire in the garbage.
Receivers.
He's talking about the draft 10 months from now.
I'm just saying.
I'll set a fire in the garbage can. You kick over the lights and we run out of here.
You can't kick over the lights. They're attached to the ceiling, you idiot.
You watch. Now we both know I can't get my leg that high. For those of you who have seen me play softball, you know. But so that move was a precursor to freeing up the cap space necessary to bring in Leonard Floyd. Now, I don't know if I'll ever get tired of hearing a player talk about how, you know, I came to Buffalo because I thought they were the best team.
Yeah.
I came here for the sole purpose of being able to compete for a Super Bowl and they were the best team. They don't never get old.
Mm-mm.
I'll take that every day. Because he's a sicko, Eric Turner of Cover One already has a 5 to 7 minute video breakdown of all the Leonard Floyd. Just he had it locked and loaded and it came out the same day the signing was announced. Now, part of you wonders, does he have a little bit of...
He might have knowledge.
Does he want to have a little bit of...
A little
wink, wink.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, good for him. Go check that out if you're interested in just the nitty-gritty X's and O's of Leonard Floyd's game. Like, one of the things I wonder about that guy, all the talk about body doubles that kind of circulated the Buffalo Bills over the course of this past winter, are we positive that Eric Turner doesn't have one? Because I don't know how you crank out content the way he does and also hold down a 9-to-5. It's like,
and have kids.
And have two children.
Jesus Christ.
Iman, if you had a body double, what would you do? Like, if you had a body double to write all the copy.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
What would you do? What's the first thing you would do with your free time?
Iman AI.
Yeah.
Iman AI. If you had that, what would you do with your free time?
Cook every day.
I would cook every day.
Just make something, play a little MLB The Show, some baseball, drink more whiskey so I wouldn't have to do work. So don't have to worry about that.
Just figure out new ways, new innovative ways to cook, new recipes.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris? Body double that you could shuffle off to the old tire factory. What would you do with all your newfound free time?
Well, if I had a body double, first thing I would do is I would move it out of this house. I probably wouldn't be able to stand my own body double if I had. I would just be like, go away. I know you're exactly me, but go away.
And then one day that guy starts doing push-ups.
Yeah.
We all know, Chris, remember the video where you hurt yourself trying to do 12 and I had to get you an ice pack?
Yeah, I remember that.
Hugo Carmona told me a hilarious story the last time he was here that when he was sick with COVID, he managed to do 15. Hugo! Oh, you know, in Portugal, the push-ups are harder.
It's the gravity's different.
The gravity's different. So, seriously, though, body double talk aside, Eric Turner, great breakdown. Go watch it. There's a lot to like here, right? At 30, he's not quite this aged vet, and he's going to benefit from being a rotational player, not having to just be the 60-70% of the snaps guy. He's different than the Bills' typical defensive end archetype, because when you think about what the Bills have been, Sean McDermott kind of falls into the same thing. We talked about it in depth during one of our shows here, but it was this idea that the reason a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow gives the Bills such fits is because whereas we do very well against mobile quarterbacks, like we've done pretty well against Lamar Jackson, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We have, historically. They play this containment game. And it's because they have these big physical defensive ends who are more maulers and they play with more power and just that's how they win rather than guys who are bendy and fast and they win with speed and burst off the line. And so you look at it and you look at the pass rush struggles of the Bills year over year. We lose in that divisional game, heartbreaker, but also 9 missed sacks on Patrick Mahomes in that game where our DNs just couldn't close. And so then that offseason, they go, fuck it, we're bringing in Von Miller. Mm-hmm. And immediately it starts to pay dividends, and they're like, oh, shit, this is great. Because you brought in a bendy athlete to mix with these big, stout, set an edge and just kind of crush a pocket type DNs. So what you do is you go in and you bring in another guy who wins that way, who is more of an edge bender, and he does have some counter moves to his pass rushes. And it's like, see, just speed. Just the speed that he plays at to complement these bigger and less sudden players like Rousseau. One of the things I think is weird about this offseason is that I haven't heard anyone, national media, local podcasters, no one's been talking about Greg Rousseau. Do you know that he was quietly one of the best players on our defense last year?
Yeah.
51 pressures, which led the team. 16.8 pass rush win rate. Which led the team.
When Von was out, I noticed he stepped up.
He stepped up. 9 sacks.
Yeah.
Led the team. I don't know why he's not getting more shine as a guy who could be primed for a monster season. When you think about it, in terms of what the draft process does to these young players. You know, rookies come out all the time and talk about how they're rookie year, you're training for the combine, you've got the draft and all this stuff. You're not in prep for football mode. So then you finally get to the NFL, you play your first season, but you're learning the entire way, and you're getting used to the speed and learning how to prep your body to be a professional athlete. Year two, you kind of now have a better understanding, but you're still walking. You're not running yet. Year three is supposed to be where these players really put it together and show you who they're going to be as professionals. Greg Rousseau has already been great.
Yep.
For two seasons for us. If he's not better, if he's just what he is now, he's still very good. Yep. If he's better, holy shit. Like, now you have something here. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that's weird. And I look at this and I go, this is a pass rush group that just the production dried up quicker than all the women at Canal Side when Chris goes shirtless rollerblading by the second that Von Miller got hurt. Like, that's it.
I mean, while I do that at the Outer Harbor.
Outer Harbor, thank God. Thank God, away from all the broads on a Canal Side and sundresses. Jesus, they'd turn tail and run. Chris, you'd ruin it for everybody. You know that, right?
No, I didn't do shit. I got Jessica. That's all I need.
So, Rousseau and his 51 pressures. Floyd finished the last season with 54. And he's 29 years old. Like, that's pretty good.
He's like a Bryce Pop.
Well, that's it.
What he reminded me of.
Well, it's funny you say that. Because you go, okay, so people might cry about how, like, oh, he's in L.A. and his career, he's playing with Aaron Donald. How could you not be good? Well, he's going to be on a team that has a lot of other options. He's going to get his one-on-one matchups, and he has the tools to capitalize on that. And then you're talking about Bryce Pop. When Miller comes back, our defense is going to feature three players capable of 50-plus pressures in a season and more than five sacks, all at just the defensive end position. Mm-hmm. Just... the Bills have not legitimately had that kind of depth before at this position. They haven't.
Never.
And people hearing that go, this team was way better, blah, blah. Go back to the cold front days, back in the 10s, right? The 2010s, that era of Bills football. We had Mario Williams, Jerry Hughes, and Jamal Westerman.
Oh.
Alan Branch.
Mark Anderson?
Wasn't Branch a Patriot, too?
Yes.
And don't forget Kyle Williams.
Well, you had Kyle Williams at D-tackle, but I'm just talking about defensive end.
Okay.
When you look at ends and passers, I mean, technically, like those guys were ends.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not, it wasn't great, right?
Not good, Bob.
Go back to 93, the Bills had Bruce Smith, the best ever, Phil Hansen, and Mark Pike. Everyone goes, I saw his eyes get big. That's Mark, one sack Pike.
Well, he always played special teams.
Yeah, that guy wasn't supposed to be out there. There was no backups. There was no rotating. You didn't rotate. You just went out there. Like, I'm not saying there haven't been good players at defensive end for the Bills. You know, Chris Kelsey.
Chris Kelsey. Schoble.
Decent. Aaron Schoble was a horse. I feel like he's one of those guys who gets forgotten in the annals of Bills history now. And yet, because he gets overshadowed by Bruce Smith. He gets overshadowed by the fact that Mario Williams was here. Jerry Hughes recently had that kind of Iron Man stretch where he was just here and he was... no one talks about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was amazing. I think he leads the Bills in terms of sacks on Tom Brady.
Probably.
Which makes him a winner in my book. Because fuck that guy. But I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not that there haven't been good players on this football team at defensive end. And there's been a lot of guys around them who made them all solid. And they, as a defense, put out some really solid performances. But in a vacuum, with a healthy Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, Leonard Floyd, might be the best three-man defensive end rotation the Bills have had since we've been doing this podcast.
True.
Okay. This gives the coaching staff the opportunity to slow play this Von Miller thing. And Von even said it. He came out, I think it was it Instagram? Was it some podcast thing he was doing? He was talking about how he feels more comfortable taking it slow, knowing that his guy is here. Like, yeah, this guy, me and him are tight. Like, this is cool. He's going to be your hold down the fort. I'll be working with him, talking to him. And it makes me feel like I don't have to rush back. Yeah, the team feels the same way. Realistically, what's a timeline you want to see Von Miller back?
Thanksgiving.
November?
Yeah, late October. Yep.
I don't want to see him for the first half of the season. Because I think that you can win, you should be able to win without him.
Yeah.
Is he the thing, right? Like, there's only one guy who is the thing that, like, playing with a UCL injury. There's a reason he's playing through that. It's because he's the guy. He wins or loses you this football game. That's it. No questions asked. So, who, like, you want to preserve that for as long as you possibly can, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, it also gives you injury protection because now you've got this super important position, whereas before we saw what happened when Von Miller went down. Now, you've got options. Someone gets hurt, guess what? You've got more bodies. Who can actually play a high-level brand of football? Like, that's what it's all about. Who can play a high-level brand of football? Brought him in and did it on a sweetheart deal. Sweetheart deal. Like, sure, it means the team's going to have some difficult choices ahead. Like, remember what I was talking about, the deepest practice squad? Where I was like, look at these guys. Like, we are going to have one of the best practice squads in football. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens when your GM is a gangster. You find yourself in this position where you're going, holy shit, we have way too many good players on this football team, and I don't know how we're going to keep them all. And here's a little tease for next week's podcast. Did you guys know that every single season since he arrived in Buffalo, our GM has traded at least one player at the cutdown deadline?
Oh.
Except for one. There was one season, 2020, where he did not trade a player at the cutdown deadline.
COVID?
Yeah. Which tells you, and that's because they made all kinds of roster expansion things, so they were like, oh, okay, we don't have to cut anybody. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who knows how to maximize value. Now, sometimes it doesn't pan out, the Wyatt Teller thing.
Yep.
Not great. But also, you can bet your ass looking at this roster that there's moves coming. Who? Where? Who might be up for grabs?
Dalvin Cook.
You're going to have to listen to our next podcast next week to hear us wax poetic about it. Check it out. Be sure to hit up Q42 Buffalo?
Or the website?
Yeah.
Q42BBQ.
BBQ. Q42BBQ.com for all your barbecue and sauce needs.
How do you not know the website in Europe?
Because listen, I'm new. I'm the new guy. I'm a temp, basically.
Well,
Iman, let me ask you this. What is Drew's title?
Right now, nothing. I'm coffee fetcher.
Operations.
Operations.
I would
work in operations.
I would set your title at director of communications. So if there's a problem, you just let Drew handle it.
We're going to turn this over to our director of communications. I just come in with a hearty, fuck you.
You have a problem with Premier Gourmet, Drew handles it.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we're supposed to meet next week about this stuff, so let's get that figured out. Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. Guys, keep your eyes peeled for our next Grills Mafia meetup. In fact, we're going to be sitting down with Reed Ferguson here in a little bit, talking about that. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff coming. We've got podcasts next week. Make sure you check it all out. Most importantly, stay petty. I mean, that is the most important thing. Stay petty. Guys, I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. This is Iman Azizi. This has been your Rock Pile Report.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.